Hey, good evening, everybody. John Henry Soto here, along with, as always, George Batista. Welcome to Counterparts Spotlight Conversations with Creative Minds. As you all know, we just love to have creative minds on here, and we have one today. We have David Breyer is going to be on the show. Holy crap, branding master. So whatever you do, whatever you got to brand, this is the place to be right now. So please hang tight. Let's do a little dancing. All right, David Breyer is going to be on the show, and we're really excited about this because, you know, I'm in social media. It's what I do. I do a lot of branding. I'm trying to, this is my hat, this thing. This is all part of, like, my thing. Of course, George, you've known me a long time, so I've been pretty much this for a long time. But yeah. We're
same
very
size
excited.
Too.
Yeah. Thanks. So we're really excited to really dive in. So before that, I know, George, you got some love to give to our sponsor and then a little bit about David, and then we're going to rock and roll.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Welcome to Counterparts. All right. So the Counterparts show is brought to you by Wellness Resources, a family-owned and operated nutritional supplement company providing the highest quality clinically formulated supplements since 1985. Find out why Wellness Resources supplements are the top choice of health conscious individuals around the world. Go to myvitaminresource.com, and if you enter the promo code Counterparts, you will get free shipping on any size order. So don't forget. All right, so let's talk about our exciting guest today. We have on Mr. David Breyer. Now, David Breyer is an internationally recognized brand identity expert, veteran designer, author, speaker, and Fast Company expert blogger. David has worked with such companies as Revlon, Estee Lauder, Jim Henson's Associates, Rolling Stone Magazine, and the Trump Organization, as well as numerous local and regional companies, earning David over 328 international and national industry awards. He's also been written about in publications such as Forbes.com, Inc., Fortune Small Business, and the Huffington Post, just to name a few. He is also the author of the best-selling book titled Brand Intervention, 33 Steps to Transform the Brand That You Have into the Brand That You Need. And this is going to be a masterclass on branding. So without further ado, let's bring him up. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David Breyer.
Woo!
Yes.
All right.
Hey. Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate it. We have questions, as George and I sometimes do. George is more organized with the questions. I kind of like to just kind of free flow on what the conversation takes us. Sometimes that gets me in trouble because I try to be funny and it ain't funny, but I still go.
Between George and I, we'll like, if you say something and we each notice that you think that it's entertaining, he and I will either give you a thumbs up or a thumbs up. You'll know as you're going. We don't want you to be wondering, am I hitting?
Yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I own the room or does the room own me? You know?
Yeah, I just don't want to end the night with a lot of this going on.
I understand. It's much easier to go like this than it is like, right. You got to use
that's
different
true.
Muscles.
You can pull a muscle,
really,
yeah.
A lot of strain.
So listen, David and I are the drummers. We'll keep the time, okay?
There you go. Nice. I like that. All right.
There you go.
Cool. Well, David, thank you so much. So I'm going to turn it over to George. He's going to ask one of our first questions to you, and then we're going to kind of turn it over and to you. And we're going to, and I have some questions, but they're more like comments on having followed your career and seeing some of the work that you've done based on that. So Jorge, what do you got?
Yes, sir. So, we know some things about you. We know you grew up in New York, right? I know you were a musician and mm-hmm. you were definitely into the arts and stuff like that, which is awesome. And again, so were we. We're totally into that. What I would like to know is, I mean, just for the folks that don't know, how did the whole branding thing start? How did you get into that?
Ah, well.
Like, you haven't been asked this before.
I haven't. I'm asked a fair amount, but you know, I always like to give a good context so it makes sense. Growing up in New York, I was always really exposed to, you know, I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens, then a little bit on Long Island, and then moved to Manhattan to start my career. And so what happened was, growing up, I loved anything that kind of made me pause and go, I was really like a sponge. So whether that was us going to Greenwich Village on Sundays and walking around the West Village and Washington Square Park and me seeing the street musicians, or walking by a particular deli or restaurant and smelling that, it was kind of like anytime that my senses were awakened and brought, like, bam, what was that? You know, it's kind of like, because a lot of life, I mean, it's a little philosophical, but it is how I think. And so the thing is that, you know, life kind of goes along. Well, yet there's things that make us stop and go, whoa, whoa, what was that? We do the double take. Sure. It's the stuff that rises into a level of like, wait a second. That's not just the plotting along, da, 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 da. Because a life led like that is dull as shit. It's like, that's not, I don't believe that's why we're here, or what we're, or to what extent we can truly live and inspire and light things up. So that's essentially what was the thing for me. I was an artist from the very point that I could hold a pencil. I dug music. I loved odd time signatures. You know, I loved progressive rock and fusion and different things, as well as loved the Beatles, loved Motown, loved James Brown. I mean, you know,
yeah,
just full boom. Spectrum. It was like the Supremes, the Temptations. I mean, you know, come on. So I loved all of that. And when it came to what can I do for a career, you know, it was like I basically thought, okay, I was going to be an illustrator. That's what I thought I was going to be. And I was studying to be an illustrator. But it was my last semester in my sophomore year. And I was like, I saw this publication that nobody here would really know unless they were a designer. Just know that it was a trade publication, but it wasn't usual. It was very unusual. It was larger in size, but it radiated like a level of craftsmanship. I mean, you could not take your eyes off of it. You know when you hear a piece of music and you just go, whoa,
yeah.
It's like, bam, or you see a mural on a wall, or you see a piece of architecture, or you taste a piece of food and you go, damn, that chef was not asleep. He didn't leave nothing on, you know, nothing was left that couldn't have just been amplified. So that's basically what happened for me in that literally, I remember that exact class. It was on a drawing table and it was just sitting there. Someone had left it and I snatched it. I was like, I am taking this. I am devouring this. Right. And I then started, who is the designer? I looked at the masthead where you have the, you know, all the credits, the editor, the writer.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it and I was like, who's the designer? And I started to hunt. Now, you have to understand, this is key for everyone listening to this. Okay. There was no freaking internet when I was doing that. It wasn't like, oh, let me Google this. Okay.
Right.
Okay. That means I have to like find out. I have to do some legwork. I got to go to look at places and, you know, we didn't have what we take for granted today.
And so
it was very, very interesting. That was the beginning where I said, okay, I don't want to just be like an accompanist to something. I want to actually make sure the entire thing comes out right.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like when Phil Collins went from being the drummer and occasional backup singer on Genesis, when Peter Gabriel was in the singing role and major songwriting role, lyric role, and he left. Now it was like, oh shit, Phil could fill those shoes, and then he obviously had a very big impact on where they went musically.
Right.
And so, to that extent, that's a long answer, but it gives you a bit of a snapshot of how that came to be.
No, I love that, and you know, there's so many different expressions in that industry. You know, it's when you're, especially in New York City, you know, you even before the internet, you can walk down Broadway or anywhere, and there's just so much illustration and creativity and things like that. For something to really grab you, that was just kind of lying on the you know, fate. You call it whatever you want. You created it. You pulled it in. You whatever we want to say that it is. But what would you say to someone? Because people miss things like that. That's what aggravates me sometimes. Like I'll be listening to a piece of music and then somebody starts talking to me.
Wife.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but but I'm like, or even this, where you're watching a movie and there's a scene that's like you've seen the movie already, but you know that this is like the scene.
Yeah.
And they get up and go to the bathroom. Right. I get crazy with that. It's like I feel like people sometimes miss that, you know. Is there some way that people can amplify their senses in order to really not miss the moments that are really going to build their future?
Well, I can only speak from my experience, and I'll answer you with this. If I'm there as a in the audience capacity, and I'm taking something in, and I'm like, and I want someone. I mean, we've all seen like a movie with an amazing scene or some pivotal thing, and you're like, watch this, you know, pay attention. Yeah, you could do it in the moment, but what I found to be more rewarding is owning the fact that I can create things, brands, packages, images, messages, stories, all of those things as part of the brand landscape for my clients that get others to stop and go, whoa. Right. And for me, it's stepping into the shoes of, I help people connect the dots that they otherwise are missing or otherwise are overlooking. So I just put myself in that capacity of, it's like, how am I going to help them connect the dots? Because I'm good at that. If I'm talking to people, if you're asking me questions, I'm going to help you connect some little universe or world over here and this other one over here. And all of a sudden you're going to go, oh my God, those things, they might be cousins. They might be siblings. They might be married.
right.
in some world, but all of a sudden, but that's the thing that I love to do. And as a result, that's done an amazing outcomes for clients. It's done amazing outcomes for just when we're in the world in any capacity, whether we're an entrepreneur, whether we're a leader, whether we're a writer, whether we are running a business or performing with others in a band or in some capacity, it's incumbent upon us to open eyes, open minds, and open hearts. Those are the things that I look at. If I am failing to do that in a conversation, and I don't mean that takes work, and it doesn't mean like I have a different agenda than what I'm there to do. Cause I mean, I can move. I'm able to adapt because not everybody's going to give a damn. My grandmother, who's no longer with us, is not going to care about certain things that I might care about, but I could still help her in that way. And I could do it to a young nephew, or I could do it to my wife, or my wife could do it to me, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where the fun comes in. It's like, how do we actually open minds, open hearts, and open eyes?
I love that. Now I wanted to, sorry, George, I know
you had a question. Go right ahead.
I'm going to just jump in here for a second. But the when you're approaching, or when someone approaches, a better question is, when is someone ready to get branding advice? Because sometimes I think they decide they want to get, they got the logo, they opened up a bank account, they got the space, they got everything set, and I'm like, okay, so what's the day to day? Well, I don't know, we're gonna do what I've been doing in my house for free, you know. It's sort of like when you see someone, what do you look for right off the bat?
They've basically gone about it ass ways. That's like going, I'm breathing, therefore I can win an Olympic race because people, when they complete and cross the finish line, are breathing. Therefore, I'm ready for that. Yeah. That's about as logical an argument. Okay. So the thing is that, I mean, and I literally had this conversation 12 months ago, where there was a designer who had invited me on as to his podcast, and he goes, "So when is it that you actually decide to do the design, like before or after the story?" And I looked at him and I was like, "How the hell do you know what you're designing unless you actually have defined it in terms of a story? And how do you come up with a story unless you actually know, well, who's the audience I'm going to serve? And if you're going to serve that audience, well, we live on a planet where there's no shortage of options. If I want to eat out, there's a gazillion restaurants. If I want to buy some shoes, there's a ton of brands. If it's and keep on going down the list.
Right.
So there's noise. So unless I've gone and looked and gone, how much noise is there? How the hell do I know how to eat? It's like, how can I estimate what's going to be impactful against the background noise level of what? So there are factors that one has to do. So that person, I would consider that the picture you painted, okay, they've got the logo and they've got, they've opened up the bank account. I couldn't give a shit if they opened up the bank account. I couldn't give a shit if they have a logo. I couldn't even give it. I would just collect the information. What name did you come up with? How did you come up with it? What's your competition like? What people are you serving? Because those people have values. I'll give you a perfect example. There's a brilliant naturopath who devised a drug-free program for women to really make it go through menopause without drugs and without the discomforts and the hot flashes and the emotional this and that, the other. And by the way, I found out that the hot flashes and were actually, that the hormonal imbalance was a symptom, not the cause. I learned this from her. I was like, what? Yeah. That all of a sudden, I was like, whoa. Well, the interesting thing about this is I start looking in she has this program, great program. And I'm like, so I do my homework and do all the stuff. She had this, I think her thing was called Vitality Project or something. She called it something like that. I said, the word vitality is nice, but it doesn't mean anything in the context of what you're doing. So what I learned as I was doing this is women, when they're talking about menopause, they talk about it. They refer to it as the change. You're going through the change. I didn't know that.
Right.
I learned that as I was going through it. I was like, oh shit. So they have their own code, right? They have their own slang. Right. Hey, you going through the change? Shit, I'm going through the change. What else you want to know? Right. It's like, and so what happens is I come up with, I developed this, and this is because I looked, she had a good program. Nothing else was in place. So came up with the name of it, came up with the slogan of it. The new name was Outshine the Change. And the slogan is Screw Menopause Naturally. And every woman wow. that hears Outshine the Change instantly knows what they're talking about. A guy would go, outshine the change. Okay, whatever. He wouldn't know what the hell you're talking about. But that, because I knew that audience and I looked at the amount of noise, there were all these menopause solutions, but Outshine the Change, bang, that had a vibe and a feel distinction and Screw Menopause Naturally. Every woman that reads that would laugh their ass off for like 5 minutes and then was ready to lie. They were right in the palm of your hand. So it's kind of like knowing, you got to know where to start.
Right.
You got to know if you haven't, and don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by the wonderful, intoxicating dopamine hit you get from, oh, I got this great, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, hey, it's great to be excited, but now let's bring it back and go, okay, is this going to like freaking crush it? Or was that just, are we just like, in love with ourselves, infatuated with ourselves for just those few minutes. And we're now back to looking just, and it doesn't mean get less excited, but it is a skill set to be able to go from, it's kind of like figuring out a good drum fill. Like one of my, I loved, for those that are into music, I really dug Genesis when I was growing up. And this is Genesis with Phil Collins. I mean, with Peter Gabriel. Well, Cinema Show is one of the all-time great for anybody that knows. It's a great 7/8. It's a 7/8.
Yeah.
It's like about a 7-minute instrumental thing that just goes all over the place, and it's amazing. And I happened to see. It was the first tour after Peter Gabriel left. Phil Collins was lead singer. Steve Hackett was still the guitarist.
Oh wow!
But
wow.
Bill Bruford was the drummer.
Nice.
So because Bill is a right-handed drummer.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Phil is a left-handed drummer, yep. but he plays with an open set.
Right.
And so it didn't. It's like it was kind of, anyway. So the. When you had these fills, it was like choreography, like anyway, it was just freaking off the charts, amazing. And I learned recently that Bruford was only on that tour for 6 months, and then that was it. It wasn't a love affair that they had, but wow. I happened to catch it in New York City wow. at Beacon Theater. Amazing.
Wow. Nice.
Wow.
Holy cow.
So yeah, you think about that name, you know, the outshine. Outshine the Change. You know, that really does impinge. I think for a guy, they would just think it's like a Soundgarden song.
That's right.
You know, but I'm curious for, you know, when you got started, I mean, how do you approach a company, especially in the beginning, when you just started this thing? I mean, how do you get the balls to approach somebody? And did you hear like a lot of "get out of my face"? I don't want to, you know. And how did you deal with that?
I would say it was completely blind and numb naivety over not knowing what was not possible.
Nice.
I swear to God.
Nice.
I seriously, it was like, that would be awesome. Let me call up so and so. And I would go to School of Visual Arts on 23rd off of Lex, and they had placement office, and they had the place where their jobs were listed. And there was the full-time gig side, and there was the part-time freelance. And I was always interested in the part-time freelance. The idea there was, I was not interested in being showing up in a cubicle and being, there were no cultures that I saw that I was like, whoa. That right. lights me up. So right. I was like, I was more of a, just too much of a, needed to go by my own, what I saw was possible. And right. so I just was like, oh, okay. And then occasionally there might be a little thing and I'd reach out to someone. And again, times were different. The idea of an art director at Revlon or Estee Lauder or Rolling Stone, being able to get through past their secretary to that person, you're one step away. Now I think we're probably a few more steps away. People would rather you text them, maybe do a soft introduction, kind of warm them up, give yourself some social proof. And so then they get to see and they go, oh, he's done so-and-so for so-and-so. Oh, okay. And so like, you got to kind of, I think there's a little bit more of a proving period now. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was honestly just because I did not have in my family, there wasn't a mentor. Okay. There wasn't like, oh, you know, this family member is a remarkably successful entrepreneur or business person. And the only person in my family that was very, very, very financially successful in his 30s was psychotic. Was insane, in a very mean, dominating and domineering way. So not a great example of, it's like that was an example of, okay, monetary wealth, but spiritual and emotional and mental chaos.
Right, right. Which kind of takes away from the wealth, you know.
I mean, kind of sucks the wind. Sucks
kind of like
sucks the wind from wind.
The rug just going whoop. So I want to, you know, communication is a big thing that we talk about here on this show, and communicating a brand is always one of the most challenging things for anyone, especially to hone it in, because you're kind of might have a piece of something, like what you said, you know, they get excited. Like George and I get excited. We're like, hey, Steve Smith was on, you know, but then we kind of like said, like, okay, what does that mean? All right, let's see what we, you know, we have to come back again, kind of figure things out and make sure that we're serving an audience with a purpose rather than just trying to do whatever we want to do, or, you know, and coming back again. So the communication part, what's one of the biggest communication hacks that you can give to like someone that's has a brand and is having really difficulties kind of getting it seen? Because social media is so noisy. To get seen on social media these days, it's, you know, you gotta do something really crazy, you know, and something be a little psychotic sometimes, which unfortunately sucks.
All right. So I'm gonna dissect a few bits and pieces of what you just asked. So how does a person who has a brand actually like get seen, get heard? So the bottom line is. There's a few layers to this. One is everybody has a brand, even if they're doing nothing, that doing nothing is part of their brand or them doing something. What they do on a regular basis, you know, like if we all know someone in our life or some way that they connect with us, that's kind of, let's say they're always nice. They always say, hey, John, hey, George, you know? And they look you in the eye and they're nice. And whenever you run into this person, you're like, it's nice to run into that person. That's part of that person's brand. That's on a personal basis. Now, at the same time, there are those who have a brand, quote unquote, for those that are just listening to this, big freaking air quotes, big, okay?
Huge.
Goliath, Empire State Building, air quotes, have a brand. So the thing is what determines having a brand? What? That they think that they came up with a name, that they think that they came up with a logo, they think they came up with, I would challenge them to say, first, I mean, I would be able to annihilate in seconds the likelihood is that they probably don't have a brand. They probably have some components that they think equate to a brand. Right. But here's the problem. Too many individuals, whether they be entrepreneurs or creators of any sort, anybody producing anything. The bottom line is that if you are, you cannot lose sight of yourself as the point of emanation when it comes to being a brand. Like, for example, when 2020 hit, I felt the impact in my business. I was still busy, but I saw a decline. I like definitely had an impact for a few months until I kind of adapted and reconfigured and and then it was like sort of come back. That was fine. But during that time, I decided, you know what? Because I had already written Brand Intervention, and that was written, and just for context, for those who don't know, I've been doing this for 42 years. I didn't just say I'm 42 years old. No, I've been doing this career for 42 years. Over four decades I've been doing this. And I've seen a lot, and I know a lot. Well, after 35 or so years, I was like, you know, I keep on hearing the same questions from people. And these are people, whether these are CEOs of international corporations, international businesses, new startups in California or New York or New Jersey or overseas or Florida or wherever. And, you know, I have helped creative individuals build their empires and make millions, and in some cases, billions of dollars. So but yet they all had the same blind spots. They all had the same, they kind of dismissed certain things, or they didn't fully anticipate if they did this, then that would happen. So I wrote the book. My book was literally, these are the same confusions, misconceptions, blind spots that entrepreneurs and creative people have. So that's what the book, that's why I wrote the book. So after I wrote that and it became an international bestseller within 2 days, I then I then said, okay, I'm going to put this into a digital form in some way. I'm going to create a course around this. And so I spent 9 months putting that together. And what the reason that I say that is because I needed to take ownership. And what I tell people at the beginning, as I say, literally the first Zoom, we have these 2-hour Zoom calls that happen as part of it's a mentoring and masterclass is what it is. And I tell people in the first masterclass, I say this, I say, here's the deal. I know you're here to get a brand, but I'm here to tell you something. You don't need a brand. Your brand needs you. And I'm here to get the shit out of the way so that I can give you back to you so that you can empower your brand.
Wow.
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 That's my answer to your initial question.
Wow. So, yeah, because people get in their own way, because I think the excitement and the idea of what that possibility is of something they just created here, they forget what's here, and then they go over there, or they go over there, or they go over there, whatever, and then you have to kind of wheel it in and take responsibility for what you actually have, and
they go like, hey, this is like a, you know, again, oh, they're the intoxication. Oh, this is such a great blah 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 blah, and they're so infatuated with it, or they think it's going to happen because it's a great idea, it's a great name, it's a this, it's a that, and they miss assign their power. They are the thing that's breathing life into it. That thing isn't breathing life into them. They're breathing life into it. You talk to any great leader, they will have that accountability. You talk to any great athlete, the athlete doesn't go, well, the ball made me great. No, you made the ball great. Right. You made that distance jumped that nobody had jumped before. Amazing. You know, you made the opposing forces remarkable. Muhammad Ali, oh my God, right? Turned fighting into art.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, and even just listening to his brilliance of words and concepts. So that's the basic thing. I mean, anyway, feel free to just kind of go boom.
But, oh, yeah. And well, you mentioned Muhammad Ali, and he's somebody that like really spoke into existence what he was going to be and what he was going to do before. Absolutely.
And did it joyously, man.
And
he
loved it every second.
People loved just listening to him because
he
lit it up. He didn't come half baked, and too many people are showing up half baked, you know, and it's like, you know, half baked, or they're going on autopilot. Or they're half-assing shit and going, how come I'm not getting more recognition? Because you didn't freaking show up.
Right.
Look, you dick. You didn't show up. You needed to show up.
they come in half-baked like Cheech and Chong, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Hey,
yeah. They were half-baked. They were really baked.
But I think one of the things that happens, especially with social media, and that John was pointing out as well, that you think about all these gurus of social media on YouTube and all these, and they tell you, this is the way that gets you the views. This is what you need to do to get 1,000 people. This, and everybody now they're trying to tell you to do the same. Yeah, this time of the day. This, and everybody's trying to rush to do the same exact thing. Where your thing is differentiation, right? Do something that stands you out from that thing. It's so counterintuitive when you think about it, how what people are actually saying or what the trends are, right? And how do you deal with trends when it comes to like businesses and stuff like that?
It shows me when I see stuff like trends, it shows me one where everyone's attention is going. And then I ask the next question, why? Mm-hmm. Why is that working? Why is that doing what it's doing? Because if we don't understand why something happens, we're a puppet. We are only as good as the latest hack that we've gotten from someone else.
Right.
If you want to lead a second-rate life, if you want to just be an also-ran, I'll give you a perfect example. There's someone that I know who's incredibly talented, and reached out and said, hey man, you love for you to be on my podcast. I think this person's really, really, really brilliantly talented. And I said, absolutely. You know, I want to help him out in any way that I can. It's great. Never follows up. Oh. And I notice the person doing all kinds of other things. That's called being a candy ass amateur. I am sorry. That's bullshit.
Right.
That's bullshit. You know, and look, you know, we all have it. You know, we all have our areas. You know, how many people are like, oh, well, I really want, you know, I want to lose weight, and then they don't do whatever, don't do the shit, right? There was one person who did my masterclass who, capable, intelligent, but had the little disease, and I think it's impacted many potentially brilliant people. This little entitlement thing. It's like, damn, I'm not getting the recognition I should be getting, man. Oh, damn, I don't have more followers. Oh, that was like the best video I ever did. It's like it got 8 views, man. Yeah. I'm really bummed. Right. It's like, well, what the hell did you do about to actually raise your, what have you done from an accountability standpoint to actually do it? I mean, there's like there's a guy, Alex Hormozy. The guy's like very successful. He was a power lifter, and then he worked on the gyms and this and that. And he and his, anyway, super smart guy, capable guy, very successful. And he's basically had spoken to Grant Cardone and admired Grant, saw what Grant was doing and all kind of stuff. And Grant coached him, you know, and Alex had shared some of the coaching points. And one of them was the factor of like your volume. What can I do? Blah, 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 blah. And it was whatever the question was, Grant's thing was volume. Your volume, your estimation of volume is off. And I think Alex had said at the time that he had started, and he had all the resources to do whatever the hell he wanted. Like money and time were no barrier, zero barrier.
Wow.
Like, so he was probably putting out maybe 8 to 10 pieces of social media a week. After he spoke to Grant, ramped it up. Now he gets out 80 pieces of content each and every week. And he has a team for Twitter. He has a team for YouTube, a team for Instagram, and he just set it up. Da, 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 da. Grant was like, no, it's like, you might think it's quality and da, 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 da. The quantity of output.
Right.
And, you know, that's just like, what's the degree of hustle that people are willing to put in?
Yeah.
Very few are willing to put it in, you know?
Right.
And so anyway, there's your answer.
Yeah. And I talk a lot about that with social media. I mean, I've been doing the social media since MySpace. When I first saw MySpace, I went 2004, I went to Washington, D.C. for a music conference, and some dude got up and he put up his phone and he was like, in 5 years, you're going to have every song you ever wanted on a device about this size. And I was like, get the hell out of here. You know, but I was blown away. He mentioned MySpace. I went home and I thought, and George and I have been in a band together and we recorded records and we had some radio success in New York. And so I came home and I said, we need to get on this internet thing with this MySpace thing. And we got to get on there, you know, and just continue just, you know, because I thought if you're in your house and you could tell somebody that you're performing at the bitter end, I mean, are you kidding me? You know, this is huge. So
yeah,
I've been doing that a long time. So I know that volume is a big thing, but let's talk about content also sometimes, because, you know, I'll see someone post like real estate agents. I was a real estate agent. I still am licensed in New Jersey. So I would do real estate. And I just did one recently online where I did a real estate training for some agents. Right. And you look at their, I look at their social media pages and I see pictures of like 1,000 houses. And I'm like, bro, I'm like, no one is going to give a crap that you have the 1,000 houses. And not just that, 2 or 3 agents had the same house. I was like looking, I'm like, what are you guys doing? So can you talk a little bit about that, about the content, you know, like how can you really have the art of being so different, you know, getting that art down where you can actually create an impact where your content is going to look different than the guy next door, but it's the same product basically.
Well, there's two things. One is that I always ask whenever I work with any client at all, I always say, tell me why I as a prospect should care.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Straight up. Tell me. And it's always fascinating to listen to the answers. And when they're done with their answer, which can take 2 minutes, which can take 25 minutes, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, I then ask them, I say, I thank them. And then I say, so let me ask you something. Why do I know that if I went to like 10 of your competitors right now, I'd pretty much hear pretty much the same thing of what you just told me. That's at the point that the fog starts to lift. That they start to go, oh shit, I have a problem. Yes, you do have a problem. The problem is you sound like everybody else.
Right.
Right.
It doesn't matter that you are not like everyone else. And what you could be saying is more true than any of the competitors. But that's not, we're not at that point yet. So the thing is you sound like everyone else. If you sound like everyone else, and you smell like everyone else, you taste like everybody else, you feel like everybody else, you're everybody else.
Right.
Right.
So you're not in a point. And if branding, for those that have not yet read my, if you haven't read my book, if you don't own my book, if you're listening, still listening at this point, and you haven't, buy my freaking book, Brand Intervention, hardcover, right there. Buy the book, hardcover. Why hardcover? Because here's the thing. People are gonna see this in your room, on your desk, and they're gonna actually like touch it and probably mistakenly borrow it. Oops, somehow it ended up in their possession. Well, when you claim it back, see, when you hit somebody with a paperback, they're like, his or her art, isn't that, it's not in it. Nothing. But when you hit them with a hardcover, they're like, holy shit, they're serious. So the thing, that's why, the hardcover is not for me, it's for you. But the thing about this is, I cover in the book, branding is the art of differentiation. Branding is the logo, branding is the slogan, branding is the name. I mean, those are all supporting points. But it's kind of like, just like a note isn't a song and a stroke of paint isn't a masterpiece, you know, that one thing, you know, an ingredient, you know, one grain of salt is not a meal, right? You know, a coffee bean is not that amazing espresso I make that I'm going to be making after we're done here, that I'm going to make for myself and my wife. I'm going to say, honey, that was an amazing conversation I had with these guys. It was awesome. It was cool. And we're going to have a celebratory freaking espresso. It's going to be incredible. So, so that's the thing. You need to understand. It's vital to understand that. And the worst thing is it's with those folks who are showing like a gazillion. I actually have quite a few clients in the financial space. And what's interesting is like, we manage, you know, 15 billion in assets. I said, I don't give a shit. that's like the realist. That's like the retail giants who go, we have 120,000 products. I said, couldn't give a damn. Do you have the one that I want? That's the only conversation I'm interested in having. I don't give a shit about the 119,999,000 other products you got. Do you have this one?
Right.
So
they don't know. So people get confused. The idea of, oh, quantity somehow means quality in terms of options and that kind of stuff. And that's not the case.
No.
So that's basically how the thing rolls. Now, one thing I'm going to do, I'm seeing that my battery's getting a little low here. I'm going to actually, you guys are going to talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
Seven, eight times.
Yeah, hold on.
Signature conversation. All right, if I hear any 4-4, I'm going to be freaking upset.
George, okay? Start it off because there's no way I can.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1.
That's awesome. So again, I just want to show it once again. And I actually, you know, I don't have this book yet. I will get this book today. I will order it as soon as I might actually do it while we're live. But Yeah, I mean, David is really giving us some incredible information here, some great gems. And one of the things that I really like about what he's saying is that, you know, there's this honesty that's like missing from this industry. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think it came in the real estate agent, you know, a real estate agent is really, unfortunately, they're kind of covered with this thing of like having to be this proper thing. They're not lawyers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're not accountants. You know, they're not legal people. They're real estate agents, but they wear a tie and they wear a shirt and then they fall into this kind of weird kind of thing. So having a conversation the way David is having right now and just saying like, I don't care. Tell me what your product is or why should I care? That is so huge and so missing in the industry of just not social media, but just branding in general. People aren't being asked that. You know what I mean? George and I are guilty of it because we're kind of asked – we kind of have to police ourselves. I'm like, what the hell are we doing?
Right.
You know, is this, are we doing anything viable here? Or what should we do? We're looking for this. We're looking for that. But it's important to really not only have it on your own, you know, have your own thing, but also have someone there that can do that. And David is back. And that was great. And we did show your book again, and we'll probably show it a million times before we're done.
Now, by the way, I'm gonna criticize you because I noticed that some of that was done in 5:4, not 7:8, and so not cool.
Sorry, guys.
I was listening.
Without George, I'm a 4:4 guy. Unfortunately, I need that timing.
Listen, I've been practicing because if I'm hanging out with Steve Smith at the end of the month, he's gonna toast me. So you know, I gotta get ready.
Oh man, that's gonna be.
David, one of the things I wanted to ask you was about your actual book, because I mean, you completely differentiated yourself just with your book alone, the way you wrote it and how you wrote it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, so again, I'm going to point this out so that everyone listening really gets the point. You've got to take inventory of what's out there. You know, I mean, the greatest of us takes inventory. You know, it's like whether it was Muhammad Ali taking inventory of who was doing what and what he had to compete against, or it's Motown and, you know, Gordy looking at and going, hey, this is what's going on. But no one actually has the package of singing, dancing, dress, you know, where getting the threads together. Yeah. And so when it came to writing the book, it's the same question that I asked myself when I wrote when I started my blog. I was like, well, you know, there's some really smart people out there saying some really good stuff. What am I going to add to this party? And that's what I really had to ask myself. And so I was like, well, yeah, there are people who can make good business comments. People who could make good observations, they could do good strategies, they could do talk good stuff from a management standpoint, this standpoint, but no one that I knew or saw actually showed, they pulled the curtain back and showed what went into creating an actual brand. I'm gonna show you the before, I'm gonna show you the after, I'm gonna walk you through, I'm gonna tell you my thinking process so you actually go and you really feel that you're getting something that you hear that you can't get anywhere else. Similarly, when it got to the book, what I looked at was I had a pet peeve. I would find myself reading some like amazing books that, you know, everyone's saying, oh, you got to read it. It's amazing. It'll change the way you do business. It'll change this. It'll change that. So I'd read the book and I would invariably find, universally find, there'd be like 10 to 12 pages somewhere in the middle of the book that had the shit.
Right.
It had what I called the shit.
Yeah. George and I talk about this. Yeah. We talk about this. I mean, I won't name any.
And I remember the first time someone asked me this and I told them this, they were like, sort of like, yeah. And it seemed to be, whenever I mention it, everyone's like, yeah, everyone has had the same experience.
Yes.
It's like, so you get all this build up, all this foreplay, and then you have the moment. And then there's like, Smooth. That was really good. Thanks. Okay. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Can we do it again sometime soon? Okay. So what happens is I was like, I hate that shit.
Right.
What if I wanted to go on the treasure hunt, tell me up front I'm going on a treasure hunt. But if you're not telling me that up front, tell me where to look so I can get to the shit. And if I want to find out any more stuff that you've extrapolated or this, that, the other. And there was that, and there was one other thing. There were a couple of amazing TED Talks that I had seen. And I was like, some hot shit. And I bought a couple of books based on what I saw in the TED Talk. I'm like, if this person can slay it in 18 minutes, oh my God, what's it going to be like? But yet I actually then bought the book. I found nothing, no more value in the book. The 18 minutes, that was it.
Oh wow.
That was the flip side. I was like, you son of a bitch. So that just further cemented my, you kidding me? So I ended up deciding I'm not going to have any fluff in the book. I'm going to have no fluff in the book. That's partly why the type is so freaking big, because I could have written five times the what's in there, but out of respect for myself and out of respect for the reader, I actually just was like, no, here's what you need to know on each of these points. This, I've given you the concentrated stuff, all the pulp, you know, all the good stuff. You'll be healthier just from reading each page, you know?
Wham, bam, thank
and that
you, sir.
Was, and that was the thing. And that's why, and the flip side of it was the surprise reaction that I got from people. People, when they open the book, they're like, oh my God! They actually get excited like a kid in the toy store.
Right. You know, it's funny you said that, because books are like that. Also, I can't tell you how many webinars I've paid for that had this amazing 2-minute video before the webinar. And so I said, you know, I'm going to get this. It's only whatever it is. I get the webinar, and 2 hours later, I'm like, man, I got maybe one thing that I can actually apply. Now, I've done a lot of webinars throughout the last, you know, whenever webinars became a thing, you do kind of extrapolate enough that you can put a thing together. But I was just like, you know, can someone do something where they say that it's going to be this thing and it's that through the whole thing, or just let me go home? Why do I have to stay for another hour while you talk about how great you are and how great this thing that you did, and then go back to the price, and then go back to the price, and go back? And I got so sick of that. And books, you know, there are a couple of authors, you know, a couple of books that I did get some benefit out of. I'm sure you know a lot of these people, you know, but some of them do have a lot of fluff. So it's great to hear you say that, because that
hold
is
on
like,
one second. I'm Mother Nature's starting to rain. So I'm going to pull myself. So I don't get.
Okay. Yeah.
Hold on a second. Now I'm going to move one more time.
All right. I'll keep going. I'll try that
five, four now.
5-4 now.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1.
Anyway, so I'm never gonna get
it's too bad, because it's that beautiful set that he built just for this show. Now we're not gonna be able to see it anymore.
That's true, right?
I will keep going. I'm moving myself.
Yeah. George, you and I have actually talked about this extensively, where we go to webinars, we go to different we buy books, we get tapes in the old days, and you kind of get like, oh man, you know, this only had one tape that was anything, and it was and the worst things is when you know that you could have actually, that this is free, it's somewhere free online. I could have gotten this was all free. I've heard this already, I've done this myself. I actually know more than this person that's talking right now. Now I want to be the idiot in the room. You know what I mean? I want to be the guy that leaves there blown away, not the guy that feels like I could have done that talk.
Yeah, you
know? That's right.
So been there, totally been there. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about Brent, the book, how it relates to someone starting out now. Like, you know, this, we've talked a lot about brands and people that have brands, and some people have billions of dollars, and some, there might be somebody sitting at home, especially after the last 2 years that we've had, with an idea of something that they want to actually create. They have no clue how to do it. I know that this book will be a starting point for them. What would you say would be another starting point or something that they should look into?
Well, one is they, without question, buy the book, buy the freaking book. Not for me, for you. It is, there ain't, just trust me, just buy the freaking book for yourself. It's for your own investment into you. The greatest thing that you, the listener, needs is knowledge. The greatest thing that you can do to ramp up your skill set is getting better insight, better understanding. You need stuff that's not, you don't need cookie cutter templates. You don't need cookie cutter little, oh, let me, here's a color by number thing for success. Or anybody that says, look, you don't need to have talent. You don't need to have a pulse. You don't need to be alive. You don't need blood circulation. You don't need food. You don't need any, you need nothing. But I've got, here's the formula. Bullsh. Anytime anybody's telling you and you're going, it sounds too good to be real. Yeah, it is. And save yourself the angst that John and George have just been talking about. Because you need information from a reliable and proven source that gives you you. You don't need more of somebody else. You need more of you. If you get nothing else from this whole thing, just get that. You don't need more of someone else. You don't need to know how to do something like so-and-so. If you're not getting more of yourself as a result of books or information that you're getting or if someone's mentoring you, if someone, anybody ever convinces you of the notion that they know more about you than you do, that their opinion of you is more vital and more meaningful than your own opinion of you, show them the freaking door or kick them the hell out. That's bullshit. Okay. So the thing is, you know, it's like you've got what it takes. It's going to take hustle. It's going to take work. It's going to take, you know, diligent effort. It ain't going to be like, oh man, I wished upon a star. Get the hell over it. Just be willing to do the hard work. Right. Be willing to get in there. Just do it. And then just complement that willingness with knowledge. And then you can be more responsible. You can have better control. And you can then have better outcomes. You know, you think that Michael Jordan didn't practice? You think that the best musicians didn't practice? You think that the best painters didn't look at what others were doing and going, wow, I love the way those colors were brought together. That was so gorgeously done.
Yeah.
Or brilliant entrepreneurs noticing, wow, so-and-so, they disrupted their industry brilliantly, right? Because you're either adding to the noise or you're rising above the noise. Those are your two options. There is no gray. Gray is bullshit.
Right.
And if you want a new business, there's a new business for you. Oh, start the gray is bullshit t-shirt line right there. Gray is bullshit.
That's it. There it is.
That's it. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, George, but I feel like there has been a brand intervention and
yes,
we've got to come clean. I do want to give a shout out to Christina who says no fluff. I love it. That's exactly right. Thank you, Christina. And everyone else, David, it's been an hour. I feel like we just got smacked in the best way possible. But I really just want to just thank you so much for this. And I feel bad showing the book because it blocks you. But
yeah, I do have even when I go to the right or the left, I can't.
Yeah,
even
get around. I know. Well, I have to come up with some other way of having it pop up. But thank you so much for doing this. This has been like a tremendous workshop for us.
Yes,
and absolutely. Moving forward, you know, George and I are definitely going to get this book. And we normally get these books, you know, we read them and then we come on sometimes and we'll talk about the actual what we've learned from certain books that we've read. And George is a big reader. I'm a big reader. So this is our next task, and we will actually do probably a whole episode just on covering on this book. And we really want to thank you so much for doing this.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's my pleasure. And the bottom line is, you know, the greatest thing that can be done here is you know, get as many eyeballs to see this as possible so that they can get value. People are always amazed and surprised that I show up with as much passion and as much conviction. And I don't show up half baked. I don't show up kind of like I had a long day. It's like, you know, if I had a long day, that was then. This is now. That's a who gives a damn. Right. It's like you showed up. I showed up. I want this to be, you know, my goal is a simple one. I want you to have a brand new problem that you guys go, this was the freaking most amazing podcast we've ever done. And holy shit, how are we ever going to like even come close to that? I want that to be your new problem. Right. You're like, oh my God, this is he freaking like blowtorched the shit out of anything that if there were any molecules of averageness in the environment, they were blowtorched like freaking out of the galaxy, man.
Oh man, well it is a problem, George. I'm sorry, I booked them, but we are screwed. We got some new problems that we have to confront.
That's
right,
all right.
Now.
I need his book for the back over here. So
yeah, no, definitely we're gonna do that, and we're gonna definitely absorb everything that we've learned today. Get the book, everybody. Please go run out, get the book right here, risingabovethenoise.com, and follow David on all platforms. I'll have everything in the description, of course, the book one more time, Dave, to block you there.
No, that's awesome. I don't mind it too much because the back of the book actually has some amazing writing on it. I was just reading it while you were doing that.
For a second, I was like, wait, how is he doing that? But it wouldn't surprise me that you can do that.
I didn't tell you that was a three-dimensional JPEG. So, I mean, right. But that's another discussion.
David, wow. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Hold on one second. We're just going to close out the show. We want to just say goodnight, probably just hang out one second. And thank you so much for being on the show.
You,
appreciate it.
Absolutely my pleasure, guys.
Okay. Wow.
Talk about my head's going to explode with the info. And
I know. But, you know, we talk about stuff like this all the time. And
yes, we do.
And I think what he said was right. This is like a pivotal point because we talk about these problems, but we didn't have, like, you know, there's a lot of people that are talking about this stuff, right? Yeah, but there's no streamline to it. This streamlined it for me anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think for you too, because we're both sort of cut out of the same cloth. But I think that this is something that we have to kind of have a whole conversation about, like we do, right?
Exactly.
But thank everybody for being on. We appreciate y'all. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. We'll see you all again next week. Same time, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For counterparts, George Batista, John Henry Soto, David Breyer, thank you so much. And we'll see you all again next week. And as always, peace.